I didn't. Oh, good, great. Now, so I want to thank everyone, those of you guys who came out to Great America last night, yesterday. It was really fun. I love having fun with you guys. You know, it's good that you guys see my other side too, because I'm always up here telling you guys what to think, telling you guys what to do, telling you guys what to feel, telling you guys what God is telling you guys. It's good to be just, you know, a friend and just a mentor and just to have fun with one another. So thank you guys. Will you guys bow your heads? Oh, wait, before we get into that, let us greet one another. Say hi. Oh, we already did that. All right, let's try. Sorry, I'm still really, really tired, like really, really tired. I fell asleep right as soon as I came home, took a two-hour nap, and then I couldn't sleep till like 4 a.m. So I'm a little tired. So will you bow your heads with me? Let us pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the blessings you give us in this body, in this church at CCIC Tri-Valley. We thank you for your spirit that is alive and well in each and every one of us, Father. And Father, I pray a special blessings for our students here, Lord. As we go on to next week and our summer retreat, Father, I pray that you would instill the passions of your love and your grace upon every student here, Father, especially those who doesn't know you personally, for those who haven't called you their own personal Lord and Savior. Father, I pray for transformation. I pray, God, that you would instill into them that passion you have for them and all the things that you do, Father, that we would recognize that you are the Lord of everything. Father, that we can trust you in everything. God, we thank you for your blessings and all that you do. We love you, Father. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you will, open up your Bibles. We're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Excuse me. Malachi chapter 3, 6 through 12. So today, I'm going to be preaching on something that can be difficult at times. You know, every preacher that preaches about tithing or giving always walks this fine line. And this is what I mean by that. How many of you guys think God is all-powerful, almighty, and can do anything that he wants? Yes, I do too. Amen. But then why does a preacher always talk about why you have to give money to God if God is so all-powerful? So there's always this fine line. And it comes down to one word. And it's all about stewardship. Okay, and we're going to talk about a little bit more about that later. But this is a very challenging sermon to preach. It's a challenging sermon to receive, because anytime God calls us to do an action, there's always some kind of sacrifice that needs to be happening, especially if it's not something we're used to doing in the first place, right? And the way I liken it is, like any skill, if you want to get really good at it, you have to do it over and over and over again until it becomes second nature. And so are the biblical principles. You know, to follow divine path, to find spiritual disciplines is not easy, especially if it's not something we're commonly doing ourselves or we have a role model that does it for us. Luckily, in our church, most of our mothers and fathers are very active within the church. That's the one thing I love about CCIC. Every single one of your moms and dads I know, and at one point or another, they're serving in one capacity or another. And this is something that really is what it's all about, because ultimately we're talking about stewardship of the church, stewardship over our lives, right, with God. So that being said, let's do speak and response. So I'll go over the first verse. You can we'll go back and forth, and we'll see the verse 12 all together, okay? And the Bible says, Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, How are we robbing you? In tithes and offering. Verse 10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. I'm emphatically saying that. Test me in this. No other place in the Bible does God say test me, except for one point. And that's, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But the Bible says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there are to be no more room enough to store it. Verse 12, let's all read together. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I want to start off this sermon by asking you two questions, but they're basically the same. Do you trust God? I'm going to ask you guys, do you trust God? Right, because this is ultimately what it's all about. Do we have enough trust in God that we can trust him with not just our Sunday lives, right, or our church lives when we get to do these outings and all these good fun things, but do we trust God with every aspect of our lives? School life, social life, right? Marriage life eventually, dating life eventually, not yet. Right? Finances. Do you trust God with everything? Now, when I heard this sermon, it was preached in the very first OMF mission conference I went to. How many of you guys know OMF? They used to be called China Inland Mission, no? How many of you guys ever heard of the name Hudson Taylor? All right. Okay, good. Great. So it was an amazing sermon. This guy looks as white because it's Hudson III, okay? It was a church out in Redwood City, and incredible mission conference was, wow. And then, but the third, Hudson Taylor Jr., the third, I guess can't be junior, right, after the first one. But the third Hudson Taylor preached a sermon, and he spoke in Mandarin. I was blown away. I don't know how good it was, but I know it was really good because all the, amen, amen, like all the Chinese folks in the congregation, amen, amen. They were all, wow, so enthused, right? And the one thing that he said and really challenged me, and because it spoke to, because after Hudson Taylor spoke, the other missionaries from OMF came up. And one of the first people that spoke asked that very same question. Do you trust God? Now, this is what I'm talking about. This gentleman, he was an engineer. He was on the ground floor. I believe he started working for IBM and then some other tech company. But he could have been way up there. And this is 2003. Okay, so this is during the bubble. This is when, this is where the real riches was happening. Now, if you get in, it costs a lot more money to start up and all these things. But he got in on the ground floor when the bubble, before it burst and before it was, you know. So he was making lots and lots of money. And the one thing that he shared with me and his whole family, because he had his wife and his three children there too. They're all young too. And he asked this very same question. Do you trust God? Because he wrestled with that very, very same question. Because as Asians, we like to prepare in life, do we not? We want to make sure we have enough money in our accounts. We want to make sure that education is king. So we study really, really hard. We do all of these things because of a promise for the future. Right? And here's this man who lived his life that very same way. I'm going to study hard. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to get the best kind of job. I'm going to buy a home. I'm going to have all these securities that the world can give me because I want to feel safe. I want to feel like, man, I'm a success. I want to feel like that I can take care of my children. And what husband or father wouldn't want to do that? But the challenge was when, as he was going through all of this, all the church was doing all this mission work and sending people out to his local church. And as he was going through all these conferences and everything, God called on his heart and he said, come, follow me. And his testimony was story after story of how God said, come, follow me, and him resisting. And God said, follow me, him resisting. And then bad things started happening. He said, come, follow me, and he followed. And then his life was blessed, time after time after time. And the biggest struggle that he ever said or he mentioned was a struggle with finances. Because literally, we like to think that we are the masters of everything that we own and everything that we have. I'll talk about that a little bit later. But the truth is, we're not. Because we're born into this world. Do we have a dime to our names? Do we even have clothes on our backs when we're born into this world? No. And I can guarantee you, when you die, there's no dime that's going to go with you to heaven. There's probably the clothes that you wear on your body. I mean, so I do believe we will have clothes even in our transfigured forms, because Jesus had clothes. He wasn't walking around naked, you know, even after he resurrected. So he still, so we will still have clothes. But the reality is none of that matters, because we will all earn crowns as we live our lives here on earth. As we be obedient to God, we get all these crowns, right? But in the book of Revelation, it talks about as we worship God, we lay the crowns before God. So actually, they're all God's. We're just worshiping him with his own stuff, right? But that very question, do you trust God? Because as far-fetched as it may seem, our finances, okay, and what we do with our money really reflects our relationship with God. And how does that reflect it? It comes down to one thing, trust. Trust. Because we are no farther along with our walk with God to the point we learn to trust him with everything. That includes our tithe. In fact, someone once said, one could learn a lot about a person's looking at their checkbook rather than their prayer book. And that's why there's so many conflicts and so many unmet needs. Tithing is a place where Christians generally go astray. Some because they have never been taught about the spiritual truth of stewardship. Others, they just don't believe the truth in themselves. But I suppose it's mainly because of our willful disobedience to God's word. We know what the truth is. We know what God wants us to do. Yet we choose not to do it. See, many Christians profess their love for God, their faith in God, their love for the Bible and everything else. But they deliberately ignore the one thing that God says about money and what he says about tithe. Now, don't get me wrong. This sermon is not about give more money to the church. That's not my point. I don't want you to ever think that I'm telling you that God is not strong enough, that God cannot produce the things that he needs to have done. I'm not saying that. That's not the point. But what I am talking about is this spiritual awakening or this spiritual truth or spiritual growth that happens when we trust God with everything. Like I said, many Christians profess their love of God, but yet no action. So this sermon is all about spiritual growth. How to have blessings by being obedient to the word of God. There's a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to tithing. How many of you guys know what tithing means? What that general principle means? You guys know? Can you say it? Offerings, but specifically how much? Yes, very good. 1/10. This is something that's been instituted from long before, even before Old Testament, because before even the temple or anything, because Abraham set aside 1/10 every time. And see, the misunderstanding here. A lot of preachers say, you know, God deserves 1/7 of the week and God deserves 1/10 of your money. I have a problem with that. And I tell you why. Because if all we're supposed to do is give God 1/10 of our money and all we're supposed to give 1/7 of our week, what do we do with the other time and other money? There's an implication that somehow the other 9/10 are ours to do with as we please. Right? Or the other 6 days out of the week, we can do whatever we want because we set one day a holy. No, that's not the truth. The truth is, this is God's demand on us. Yes, give me 1/10, come to church on Sunday. But everything we do, as the Bible teaches, is supposed to be an act of worship to God. And that includes the tithing. Every aspect. For most of us hearing this sermon today, the thing you guys got to realize, no matter how much we think we have, no matter how much think we got, the truth is some 60 or 70 years from now, everything you own will be in someone else's name. Hopefully it'll be longer. I'm guessing 60 or 70 years because you're about 16, 17. So you guys will die when you're 90, somewhere thereabouts. Right? But when you pass away, do you think you're going to take anything with you? Do you think you're going to take any pride or any of these things when you die? No. It'll all go under your land, your name, your home, your assets. We came in this world naked without a dime, and we'll leave exactly the same. this is all about stewardship. And the best place to talk about stewardship is in this idea of tithing. So we're going to go through scripture. Our texts are going to emphasize certain aspects of God's word. The first thing we're going to recognize is God's problem with us and how we're breaking the tithe. The second point of this sermon is about how God gives us this program, or how God gives us this ability to live out the things he calls us to do. Okay, and that's found in his word. And lastly, we're going to talk about God's abundant promise. Okay. Verse 7 through 9. Ever since the time of our ancestors, so you and the descendants, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and you not have kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? See, this is all about tithings. See, the thing that we need to understand is when we don't tithe, when we don't do any of these things, and I know it's hard for us to understand because most of us don't have a job. How many of you guys have a job and have actual money coming in every week and you can actually tithe? Oh, good. I do too. But most of us, we don't. And some of you guys might be sitting there like, what is Pastor Howard talking about? I don't even earn money. I don't even do anything. Okay, this is true. But we do have responsibilities. Because the thing that we miss out on is we miss out on God's glory. For example, I don't want to make you guys feel guilty, but we do have a responsibility financially as a whole in Impact. Christian Children Fund. You guys remember that? Do you remember the person we pray for every Sunday? I'm not going to call you guys out. I'm not going to say the numbers, but the numbers are bad. We said we're going to give X amount of dollars every month. You know, here's the failure. Okay? To us, we just don't make a payment. We just, you know, whatever. You know how that affects the people on the other end? When people say, I'm going to support you and I'm going to help you, I'm going to help you so much so that you can understand God's grace and mercy. That's what we're promising them. But when we don't deliver on ourselves and when we don't deliver all these things, because this is God's vehicle for us. Once again, God can do it himself. He could send the floods. He could send the rains. He could send all the good things to make everything grow. But there's sin in that land. Okay, for one reason or another, God has put them in that position. So how does the world see that? We can look at it, oh, that's a bad thing, and turn our backs on it. But as Christians, God calls us to a higher moral calling. And we have, I don't know if we said it institutionally or we made this commitment individually, but I can tell you this much. Out of the 12 months that we were supposed to support, we've only made our thing once. I won't tell you the numbers, like I said, but we only made it once. That means the rest of the 11 months out of the year, Maribel, as much as we love her, as much as we pray for her, are all words and no action. This is what God's problem is with us. He says, you have robbed me. You are under a curse as a whole nation because you are robbing me. Have you ever been the victim of robbery? Have you? Because we're doing the exact same thing. Think about what robbery is, right? Someone taking something that belongs to you. A promise was made from us to them. We're going to support you doing this. We haven't done it. Now we're robbing them. There's no difference in the storehouses of God. The Bible says, you have robbed me. This is very, very powerful thing. Look at the pronouns. Very personal. He's saying, you have robbed me. That's a strong accusation. See, in Malachi 3:7, he says, return to me and I will return to you. The point of return is from the point of the departure. And the point of departure is the matter of tithe. God has a problem with each and every one of us when we don't give what we're supposed to do. Like I said, it's not because he needs it. He allows us to be a part of his plan, to be a part of the stewardship. In fact, The way I challenge everyone and anyone who comes to me about saying my life, I always ask them that question. Do you think the life you're living, if you're a Christian and you call upon Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior, I always ask them, do you think your life is yours? What do you mean, Pastor, my life is mine? Of course my life is it. Jesus says, deny yourself, right? And pick up your cross and follow me daily. Meaning you are to die every day and be obedient and follow me. And I told you, like I said last on Friday, you know, I get it. At times we can say like God is so oppressive, right? But like any other person or father or mother who loves their children, they're going to give them rules. And these rules aren't to harm us or to make us feel bad about ourselves or to give us guilt. But these are rules that says, I love you and I want you to have the best life. So follow me. That's where we are. God has this incredible problem. He has this anguish in his heart. And he made it personal by saying, every one of us, when he says you, it's in the plural. You have robbed me. You have robbed me. Not because you took a gun to my head. Not because you did it forcefully. But because you turned your back on me. How more personal can he make it? You have robbed me. We have robbed ourselves out of these great blessings. Man, imagine how good this world would be if every other person thought of other people higher than of themselves. When someone is in need, that you care for them. You know, I always tell this, and I always model this for my son, but another thing happened last night. On the way back from Great America, from church to home, I was like, I'm really thirsty. I'm going to go to 7-Eleven. And then there was this old guy, and he's like, oh, buy me drink. I was like, what? I was like, I don't know you. He's like, buy me drink. And right then and there, I heard God's voice. And I always hear this in the back of my mind. You know, whatever you did for the least of these things, you did for me. You know, I cannot but help as a Christian, as a man of God, as someone who's following Jesus Christ, to care for those who are less fortunate. And even though he was rude and said, buy me drink and all these things. Actually, he said, buy me cigarettes. And I said, no. I said, what kind of person asks a stranger, buy me cigarettes? I say, are you hungry or thirsty? Yeah, buy me drink. I bought him a drink. But the point is, I don't ever want to have this opportunity where my son says, man, my money is mine. No. Everything we get, everything we receive, everything that we have is literally so that we can give to others. And I told you this, Connie likes to play the lottery, especially if it goes over 100, it goes into the 100 million category. Anytime, oh, let's go buy Lotto. I always tell Connie, you know, we're never going to win. I think, why? It's like your attitude. Like, what do you mean? I say, why do you want the Lotto? I want to be rich. Okay. Why do you want to be rich? What do you mean, why I want to be rich? Duh. I want to buy stuff. It's like, right there. You think God's going to honor that? Your selfish intent? You think God? I say, try like this and be real. Pray to God. God, let me have lots of money. Let me be a great steward so I can see your kingdom work done on here on earth. And if you honor God like that, do you think God is going to give you blessings? I bet you absolutely he would. See, the problem is very, 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 very direct. Not only does God say, you have robbed me, we answer back to him. How do we rob you, God? And the answer comes in this very, very straight way, in tithes and offering. See, tithing is this program that God gives us. It allows us to understand that he is always there and that we are always together. This is an aspect of grace that we need to understand. When we're not deserving, when we didn't earn it, having people help you out. Now, recently, I want to share with you guys, you know, if you guys come out to Wednesday prayer meeting, I'm always sharing about all these good people that's in this church and people that really love on me and my family. I won't embarrass anyone, but I tell you the truth. I'm really, really grateful for all the co-workers and brothers and sisters. I want you to know, even financially speaking, there are people here at our church that are really loving so much that are willing to give you, hey, I heard you're in trouble. Here's some money. Like, what are you talking about? I don't need your money. I take my money. Okay. You know, this is what I'm talking about. And this is not just for me, because, you know, ultimately, you know, this is a blessing for everyone else. It allows me to do what I need to do and everything. And I realize, wow, God's family and God's stewardship really covers everything. Like, every aspect of your life. Like, and I asked you in the beginning, do you trust God? Because that's really the point. Do you trust God? Because when God says, you have robbed me and all these things, and he's talking about, you know, basically this idea of giving 10%. Because, you know what, it's really, the way to understand tithing is to understand that it is holy unto the Lord. Literally, it's an act of worship. Leviticus 27:30 says it this way. And all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, it is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. You know what, excuse me, you know what holy means? How many of you guys know? It means to be set apart. So God is saying, everything that we have here, right? This tithing, everything that I want from you. Like, if we have a hard time, think of it as a Sunday thing. That's first level recognition. I want us to be the next level, because ultimately I want us to understand God wants us to be cheerful givers. Like, don't do it out of obligation. Do it because you really want to. And the thing that I think about is Jesus is there at the temple, and then here's this rich Pharisee giving all, look at me, thank you God for giving me all this money, I give back to charity. And there was this one lady who was a widower and had one penny, one copper coin. God, I have nothing. I have only this. I have children who need food. I have nothing, but I hear you. Now, I want to make sure that I'm part of what you're doing. And the Bible says she gives, oh, this is so touching. She gives the money in offering and in alms. Not one-tenth, literally every single penny she had. To her last dime, she says, God, I give to you. You talk about trust in God, right? God says, who do you think gave more? He's talking to people. Who do you think gave more? Oh, obviously, the guy who gave all his money. Look at him. Like, his reward he already got. With his mouth glorifying himself, not glorifying God, he gave everything. He got his reward already. But to the lady who had nothing. And the way the Bible says, because he gave out of excess, the lady gave out of nothing. What kind of heart comes to God and says, God, I have nothing, but I trust you in everything? That's what happens when we obey. That's what happens when we understand what life is really like with God. It takes us into that next level, not out of obligation. Oh, man, I got to do this again. Oh, I guess. But at every turn, yes, Father, I will follow you. Yes, Father, I will give. Yes, Father, I will do. The tithe is all about God. We cannot be blinded by our own feelings and our own selfishness. And I said it, yes, selfishness. That's what the truth of the scripture tells us. A tenth of our income, our own personal property, whatever it is, the tithe is God's. It's all God's. God said, regardless of whatever is happening in your life, regardless of what is going on, how bad your situation is, give. And you know why? Because as you give, you get so much more in return. You watch how your tithe will grow. And this is in our case here at Impact, when we're talking specifically about Merivale, we get firsthand eyewitness news on how our tithe and how God uses our money and how he uses it to bless other people. Most times in ministry, you don't get to see that. A lot of times in ministry, you have to write a check and pray, God, your hand is on this, and I don't want to just throw money at this, but God, you know what? I want you to bless this ministry, whatever happens. And I tell you how this works. Do you know we have our 10th anniversary coming up? Do you guys know how much the church costs to build and to make and to maintain? You know that most churches can't pay off their buildings until after 20 plus years? Do you know that we just made our final payment on everything that we've... Amen, amen, amen. 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 Give it up to God. Amen. God is good. And all of these things happen. Why? Because every one of us was involved. We said, God, we hear you. And this is not me. This is like 9 years before I even got here, before you guys even had a home, while you guys were meeting at a hotel room, you guys heard God's voice and said, this is my plan for you. And you were honest and you were good stewards of the time and the money that you were given to. And how do we pay it off so fast? Because of you. Because you have heard and you have obeyed. No different. And that's another. But a lot of times we don't get to see that. We don't get to see the fruits of what we're doing. But first-hand account with Maribel, each and everyone. Hi, I'm Maribel. I'm doing this and I'm doing this. Thank you so much for your gift. Because here's the thing that I don't want to say, but I think I have to say. Because every month when we come out short, you know who comes up with the rest? You know who comes up with the rest? It comes from personally from someone. Not the church, because that's not the church's business. All right, this is something you guys said we want to do as impact. Someone else is taking your fall because we're not making what we're supposed to do. And this is why God has this plan. This is what it's all about. Malachi 3:10 says it this way. Bring to me the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessings that will be no more room to store it. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The way I like to think, God, too much. I love you. You love me too much. You ever felt that way? I showered. Let's not talk about that. I need to do that more with Connie. She needs to know more how much I love her. But absolutely. When you're showered with this passionate love over and over again, you're overwhelmed. That's how we know we're in connection with God. And that's what his program for us is. I will open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will be not enough room to store it. If we are robbing God, then the place where we need to rehabilitate ourselves and be in a right relationship with him is to bring all our tithes to him. So what does this mean? Like I said, I get it. Not all of us work. But I bet you every single one of you guys have money somewhere. And I'm not saying give that money. I'm not saying, oh, the church needs your money. What I am saying is if God is calling you to serve something and do something, it's our best interest to hear that. It really is. It's so important that we honor God with the things that he says, I want this for you. You say, yes, God, I want it too. We need to honor that. And we cannot turn our backs on him. We have to bring our offering to God. Literally say, God, I give you this. Not out of obligation. Oh, I guess I have to do it. No. God, I want to give you this because of all the good you do for me and all the love that's been given to me. I want to love others just the same. Bring your gift to God, whatever it is. You know, one of the most powerful things I ever learned how to do is give. It really is. We don't do it so much here, but, you know, in the Korean church, we have morning prayer every morning. I was tasked to preach at least twice a month in morning prayer. So we get up at like 4:30 in the morning, come to church by 5 a.m., so that I can preach real quick and we pray for an hour and then everyone goes to work by 7 a.m. Crazy. The Korean church does this every day, except for Sunday, obviously. So I was tasked to do these things, and one of the most powerful things I ever learned was to get down on my knees right before offering. And this is when I was a single man. I wasn't making particularly that much, and I was barely getting by. I said, God, I need more. I need more. And I remember God said, you don't need more. You just need to listen to me. And the most powerful thing I ever did was get down on my knees and cry out to God, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. You know, I give to you exactly what is owed to you. I will not rob from you. When I put that offering, just like we had a box like this, I put in there, the feeling of righteousness and God's love upon me just amplified. And everything else from that point, look at me, do I look hungry? I've never gone hungry. I never had to worry about where I'm going to be in my life. I never had to worry about the home that I'm going to. And I know a lot of these things are stress things in our lives, but I promise you, you don't have to worry about them. Because the Bible says, seek ye the kingdom first and all will be added unto you. That's a promise by God. That's the plan he has in place. Give to me everything. All the offering you owe me, give it to me, he says. You bring it. Don't get other people to bring it. You bring it, he says. All of Scripture says it this way. Love is equated to action. And the best verses that are the best Bible verse that depicts this is John 3:16. Because it says, for God so loved that what he do? God so loved that he? Okay, let's the action word is God so loved he gave. Love requires action. Love doesn't require, oh, I give you my thoughts and prayers. I hate that. Yes, pray. I don't hate praying. I hate, it almost sounds like an excuse. Oh, that's a really tough thing to do. I'll give you my thoughts and prayers. You know what real Christianity is? What real brotherhood is? You're suffering, I'll suffer with you. Come up. Let's get up together. You're hurting, I'm hurting too. Let's get up together. One hand washes the other. The Chinese symbol for person, right? I love that, right? I always say that all the time. I love that. You need a support group. And that's what it's all about. God has given us this opportunity to share with one another, to love one another, to come before him and say, God, I lay these things out. Because it talks about putting all these things into a storehouse. 1 Corinthians 16:1-2 says, lay in the store. And this is all about bringing it back to Malachi. Bring it into the storehouse. Bring it to God. Bring it to his home. And say, God, I give to you. Now, the challenge is, like I said, not everyone has work. Not everyone has money. We all. But I challenge you guys this. If you ever have any opportunity to give to something, right? Because we do it all the time. People come up to say, oh, Pastor Howard, can you support me in this? Okay, what are you doing? Okay, I'll buy, especially if it's candy, I'll buy a lot. Or if it's cookie stuff, oh, yeah, give me a couple boxes of those. Because I love to eat. But, you know, why do I do these things? It's not like I cannot find these things otherwhere. But I want you guys to understand, I support you guys. Okay? I love you guys. I want you guys to be the best that you can. So I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that you guys can do it. Within my means, obviously, right? If I can't do it, I can't do it. But you can come to me at any time. Because that's what it's about. I want to be there for you. And because all of these things point to one thing, right? Because at the end of the verse it says, bring all the tithes to the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Food in my house. How important is that? We are the representation of God and his strength and his wealth and his power, his love and grace. When people say, I need your help, and we turn their back on them, what are we saying about God? This is our very opportunity to be his hands and feet, to be the things that he calls us to be. This is the only place in the Bible that God says, test me. Right? Because even when Jesus was tempted, right? What did he say? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, for it is written, right? This is the only place in the Bible where God says, test me in this. Test me in your finances. Because the truth is, God knows. God knows in our lives, the two most important commodities we have is our time that we have and the amount of money that we can have as well, right? Because those things kind of dictate everything. And I told you this much. You really want to know someone? See how they spend their time and see how they spend their money. You really want to know someone? Look at those two things. Look at those very two things. You look at my history, a lot of fishing gear. My wife is so mad. But I spend a lot of money on you guys too, so I come on, honey. That's not a justification, he always tells me. But anyway, that's what it's all about. It's this opportunity to say, God, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But God, I trust you enough to do it. And in fact, God, I'm going to do it this way. Don't believe me? Say, God, I have $10 today. I want to give it to Maribel because you called me to do it and I want to be obedient. And those of you guys new to the ministry here, those of you guys who came up from the CM, the children's ministry, if you guys don't know, you guys probably haven't heard her yet, but we post her pictures every once in a while. We support a girl in Africa, and her name is Maribel. And one of the main things that really breaks my heart is seeing that we're not coming up with what we said we're going to do. But I tell you this much, test God. Say, God, this is my last $10. I wanted to go buy some boba and some other thing, temporary fun, but God, I want to see your bigger kingdom. Say, God, I want this, and I give this to them. See whatever fun you think you were going to have and all these things having boba, see how much more better you feel about your life and about yourself and about everything else that you're doing, and give it to Maribel instead. See how that changes your perspective. And when you get that letter, and this is the whole point of, this is the payoff, that letter. Hi, guys, at CCIC Chai Valley family. Thank you for supporting me. My family is doing this. We got 10 oil cans so that I can make the... You guys got to understand, we're not just taking care of them. We're giving them hope for a future. We're giving them opportunity to do better things with their lives. Right? And it all leads to God's promise. Malachi 10 through 12. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much that the blessings will not be enough room to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, vines of the field, and drop the fruit that is ripe. Now, this is very descriptive language for an agrarian culture. Right? I will not let the pests come into the field. Because all of this, life and death depends on how much crop you build. Right? If you get enough crop, you have excess, you can sell, there's commerce and all. You don't have enough, you're in famine. You can't feed your family, everyone dies. Okay, this is really important. So when we talk about modern day finances, what is he talking about? You know, like fields of insects and all these. And I tell you this way. As you mature, probably in your 20s, when you get in between college and high school years, when you start making some money, but not really, but you're still a student, those are the times where you're going to be tested, and God's going to call you on, and I had to learn that lesson too. Like, man, every time I gave tithe, everything was good. So when I forgot or something happened, car broke down, something happened where more money came out, okay? And I want to use my son as an illustration for this. I don't mean to call him out on all the bad things he does, but I have to because... He's my representation of God in my life, and I. So, last week, he has a daycare. Okay, he has daycare, and this is all about God's promise, right? About not letting the ravages of everyone come in, and all these things. And I'm modernizing it for you. So, for example, last week, Keone had to go. I was so busy all last week, I couldn't make dinner. And usually, why it's important that I make dinner, I can just go out and buy dinner. But I have to make his lunch for the next day, too. So I was like, man, you know, oh, man, what are we going to do? I couldn't make dinner that one night. So we went out to eat. So the next day, I was like, okay, Keone, here's $20. Because he goes to Brilliant Minds Academy. I said, here's $20. This is what you need to do with this $20. There's a curry pizza house right next door to your work, to your school. And I already talked to your teachers. You're going to go buy your lunch with this. And they know what you're going to buy. Cheese pizza, a large one. It's going to be $17. You can share with your friends, whatever, but here's $20. Okay, Daddy, I want to eat pizza. Good, thank you, Daddy. And so right before I left, Kyoni, what is this money for? Daddy, you told me it's for pizza. It's my lunch money. Kyoni, this is your lunch money, okay? Your lunch money, okay? Yeah, Dad. Yeah. Okay, bye. I said, come here, give me a kiss first. And then he goes. So that day, it was bowling day. And he forgot it was bowling day because every bowling day I give him about an extra $15 too. And the reason why is because he wants to order French fries and a large drink and play some video games. And I'm all about that. I'm okay. This is your summer. Go nuts. Have at it. Right? But he didn't know that it was bowling day that day and he had $20. I'm like, oh, man. So I get a phone call. I'm here at church. And right about 1:30, I get a call. Ring, ring, ring. What's going on? It's Brilliant Minds. I recognize the number. 925. It's Brilliant Minds Academy. Okay, I better... Hello, it's Kyoni and Kyle, all right, what's going on? Like, let me explain, it's okay, Mr. Lee. So your son, we went bowling today. Oh, that's great, did you guys have fun? Yeah. But your son, he spent all his money. I was like, what do you mean he spent all, I don't know, whatever money he had, he spent all his money, and your son and daughter are hungry right now. I was like, no, what is she? Like, okay, I'll go right there. No, Mr. Lee, we're taking care of it. We actually got a small personal pan pizza for him, and it was more than enough for him and his sister. But when you come back later on, please give us like $12. I said, oh, okay. And I look at my son. I said, son, I'm like, man, you kind of dropped the ball there, right? This is what I mean by the pests of the field devouring your crops and everything. Because his money was supposed to literally for eating, right? And he was supposed to spend it to eat. And whatever, but he didn't, and he spent it, and this is being foolish, right? He spent it on video games, and not only that, video games. He has this friend, Samuel. He's like, hey, you got lots of money. Can I have some? And like, he just grabbed like $10. Like, he had over like, so he has his own money, but I told him not to take it, but he snuck his wallet with him. So he actually had like 40-something bucks with him that day. And so I was like, how much money did you spend on? And he's like, he's really scared. It's okay, son. This much on this, this much on this. And I was like, what? Okay, that still doesn't add up because you probably had closer to $50 in your wallet thingy, and it's a cute little purse. I don't know, he likes it. And he's like, oh yeah, Samuel. I was like, what do you mean, Samuel? Oh yeah, I had all this money in my hand. He's like, can I have some? And he just grabbed some money and he played video games with it. I was like, wow, this is Malachi chapter 3, verses 11, coming to life, real life right there. Right? You missed the mark. God says, give my money to this. And not that I'm God or anything, but you know, you get the idea. When God has certain plans intended for us, and when we astray from those plans, bad things tend to happen. Okay? This is the reality of it. Because that's what God's promise is. Because he says, I will not let those things devour your crops. I will keep you for your sake. You will not lose anything. Keep in step with me and know all these blessings. This is the supernatural protection from God. Now, I tell you, I don't know all the ramification of this promise, but I can tell you the truth. If you abide in them, you can know that God has your back in every aspect of your life and that which is in finances too. Whether in recession, we just went through one. We might be going through one right now, so the economists say. God will rebuke that on your behalf, on your parents' behalf. God gives this supernatural protection for every consistent tither. Because why? This is his promise to you. Not me saying, oh, this is what the Bible says. It might be. No, this is God. He says, test me. Literally, God says, test me. You don't believe me? Bring it to me. Only place in the Bible God says, test me. Literally, only place. And don't believe me? Google it. Where in the Bible does God say, test me? No other place besides here. In fact, everywhere other scriptures said, don't do it. Don't test God. Don't test God. You're foolish if you die. But God says, test me in this. If you don't trust me in your finances, you can't trust me in anything. You can't trust me in any other aspect in your life. That's the truth. I told you way back when I'm frugal. Nice way of saying I'm cheap. I told you how even my wife's ring, I should be buying her more jewelry. I don't, because you want $5,000 for that? It's, you just wear it. You don't sleep on it. You don't eat it. What good is it? I don't understand. I'm not a jewelry person. But anyway, he protects us. It's in his words. It's in his command that we find this protection. It's when we are in his plan. When we understand that covenant he made with Jesus Christ, it comes on to us as well. The promise of eternal life, the promise of life in general, abundant life, not just in heaven, but here on earth. May your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's the life he promises you. That's the blessings he gives us. Once we bring all the tithes to the place he has given us in this house, that he can even say, test me in this. Don't believe me? God said, test me. That's God's abundant promise. The promise of provision, the promise of protection. Bible says, if you return to me, I will return to you. So my challenge for you today is this. If you guys haven't been a consistent giver, pray about it. I'm not going to tell you give all your money. That's not my thing. God's going to work on your heart. God's going to say, hey, you're my son. I have given you the gift of life. It's your turn to give back. That's how it does. That's how it works. Because when we do these things, we have these promises. The tithe is God's. The tithe is holy unto the Lord. The greatest form of stewardship was found in John 3:16. For God so loved that he gave. To give, to love, is an action. When we look at the cross, we understand the gifts that were given to us in a real form. Because we understand the sacrifice. The hard part is understanding our sacrifice in that part. And that's why God says it this way. Why will a man rob me? Will a mortal man rob God? So here's some practical suggestions. And this is the application of everything that I've been speaking about. Because a lot of times, you know, in a lot of places, I've heard it time and time again. You know, when it comes to witnessing to one of my friends. And he was one of my older brothers. He's one of the only Korean friends I had. I didn't really associate with Korean people, but he was one of the only Korean brothers that I really associated with. And he had this profound effect on me. Because when he gave to me and he loved to me, right, I understood what that meant. Because of his sacrifice for me, I told you last week about Cookie, and we call him Cookie. And he said, if you have a beef with me, you don't remember that? If you have a beef with him, you have a beef with me. That was so powerful. Like, literally, he threw a punch and he hooked him and he threw him on his back. State rest. No, you don't. Okay. Listen up. If you don't believe me, you can go look it up on our website. Okay. Like I said, by the way, our website is up and running. So please go in there on a daily basis. Everything you need to know about is up there. Okay. And if it's not, the content is under construction. But here's some practical suggestions. Because many say, I know I need to be obedient to God, especially in the tithe, but I just don't know how. Simple suggestion. Make it a prayer. Say, God, even if I don't have money, even if I don't have a weekly income, even if I don't have allowance, whatever it may be, God, show me in my heart where I can give. Because that's what it's all about, giving your heart to God. The amount of money, yes, it is important if you want to get into the legalistic manner. But like I said, I have a hard time dealing with that because it kind of implies, oh yeah, 1/10 to God, 9/10 to me. No, it's all God's, but he just demands only 1/10. The rest, we can we live with it, and we're still stewards of it. Make it a prayer plan. Because the truth is, the Bible talks about first fruits. You know what first fruit is? In agrarian terms, first fruit is, you know, that first crop that comes up, that first really, I don't, So for me, I worked on a farm. Actually, the first crop isn't generally the best. I don't know why the Bible says that. It's usually the second or third crop that comes out, and then the plants start maturing and bigger fruit come out and stuff like that. But the point that God was trying to make, I think, is this. Whatever you get, give. First fruit. Don't make it an afterthought. Make God your first thought. God, I got blessed with this. How can I use this and glorify you? And everything I'm telling you here right now is all next level Christianity here. All right, because first level is, I just got to give. Then we understand why we give. Then we understand how we give. And then we understand the faithfulness in giving, that it's set aside to be holy, that it is a special act of worship for us, that we understand we communicate with the rest of God's creation and the rest of God's kingdom and say, God, I give to you. But first fruit meaning put God first in everything. For those of you working, every time you get a paycheck, say, God, I want to give unto you. Every time you get an allowance, God, I want to give unto you. If we don't get any money or any time things, I know we get red envelopes. We all do. Even me. I'm not even Chinese. Say, God, this is an awesome red envelope. But I want to give to you first. That's the point. And I don't want to say be legalistic, but I have to say anytime you learn a new discipline, you have to be strict on yourself. You have to be very systematic. You have to say, on this day I get this, on this day I'm going to do this. Make a plan. And as long as you make a plan, you follow through it, you do it every time. And you know what happens after you do it every time? It becomes a habit. It becomes of who you are. It becomes normal practice. Until we get to that point, it gets hard. 4. Always rest on the fact that we can trust in God. I start off this sermon with that one question. Do you trust in God? And not only do you trust in God, do you trust God in every aspect of your life? Now, sometimes we intentionally say, God, I don't know about that. I think I know more than you. But a lot of times it's just that we just make bad choices and we're not intentionally saying, God, I know more than you. But somehow we haven't developed that trust. This is how we do it. Literally by taking one step in front of the other. And if we ever have any difficulties giving, remember this. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin in him, bore the sin of you, of me, and everyone else in this room, and anyone else who would call upon his name. If you think you can no longer be faithful, think of the cross and what Jesus did, and his faithfulness to the word of God, and to obedience of God, even to the point where he said, God, I cannot do this. Father, I cannot. But he says, not of my will, your will be done. And lastly, test God. You heard me say it. Test God. Tell God, prove it to me. Show me. This is the place in the Bible where it says that. I don't think God's word makes any mistakes. When he says, test me on this, when basically he is saying, God, I want to trust you. I just don't know how. Test God. Not like, oh, God, I'll give you $10 and you give me a million. No, not like that. That doesn't work that way. Say, God, this is my $10. This $10 can buy me boba. This $10 can do this for me. This $10. But God, in your hands, this $10 can do so much more. May this be a blessing to someone else. Because why? It's a promise. It's a promise for us that when we do these things and we're obedient to these things, like Keone, like the pests and all these things that come to devour our crops, and crops, like I said, in agrarian terms, is your lifeline. It's how your livelihood, it's how you make your money. And all these things, these pests and these bugs and all these things that come to devour are people who take away your money. Whether it be tax season, whether it be this, or there's people out there that's always trying to take your money. God says he'll protect you. Test him, is what the Bible says. And here's the payoff. Because when I said the point of return is always from the point of departure. Return to me, and I will return to you. My brothers and sisters, If there's any one thing that you're going to leave with here today, is knowing that everything you do, everything you have, everything you're about, everything you will be about, is all God's. Everything that we do in between, it just being stewards to that. And I pray that you guys will learn these life lessons, because there's many things, many philosophies, many different ways you can live your life. But I tell you this much, you live your life like this, and this is not just from me, this is literally the promise from God. You know, I told you on Friday, you know, right and wrong is not hard to distinguish, right? Good and bad. Oh, that's good. Oh, that's bad. Not hard to distinguish. What's hard to distinguish is between better and best. To save your money, that's a good thing. To save it for things that you need, very good thing, right? But is it better than saying, God, my last $10 I give to you, because with this $10 I can do this much. This $10 as an act of faithfulness to you, as an act of worship to you, I know you can multiply that and make it much, much more. And that's where we are in our relationship with God. I told you that. How do you know if you're right with God? Look at what you do with your time, and look at what you do with your money. Pray with me. Gracious Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, God, that you have taught us, Father, that all of life, everything that we have, everything that we get, it's all about stewardship. Father, that you have called us into a higher place, Father. That it's not just simply giving you money, but Father, responding in such a way to your holiness, Father, that you expect us to set aside one-tenth of what we have. One-tenth. Not much, Lord. But we understand and we realize all of it belongs to you. So Father, in our hearts, in our minds, I ask, Father, that you would give us this ability to see you in all things. Father, that we would be able to live up to our responsibilities, especially when we're talking about Maribel, Lord. Help us to be the blessers, Father. As your word teaches us, Father, that as we do these things, that we would be blessed so much. Literally, we can't receive any more, Father. That your heavenly storehouses would be wide open and you would just flood us over and over again with blessing after blessing after blessing, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have given us word that we can learn to trust you. And Father, I pray for each youth here, Father, as they grow up, as they make decisions in their lives, Father, that they would understand that it is in you. Not only just the obedience and following, but Father, it is in you. That your love is an action word. That your love has led us to this place, Father. That, Father, our lives and how we give, how we sow, how we love, how we do all these things, Lord, is a testimony of the outpouring you have given upon us. God bless us. Help us to know that your love is real and that we may respond with others. We thank you for your mercies. We love you, Father. For all these things in Jesus' name.